you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, welcome to an episode of the Believe You Me podcast with myself, Luis J. Gomez. With myself, Michael Bisping, and Luis J. Gomez. As you can see on the t-shirt, how are you, Luis?
What's up, son?
I'm good. I'm very good, in fact.
Happy Father's Day.
Well, happy Father's Day to you. Belated, of course, yesterday. No, I'm happy. Thank God. Thank God. Because, you know, a few weeks ago, you were all riding the coattails of Ben Askren and saying, oh, he's so good. He's so good. He's going to destroy Jake Paul and he's going to win. And, of course, he did it. And everyone thinks MMA fighters can't box to save their lives. Mm. And the boxing community were like, oh, MMA guys suck and all the rest of it. Well, fortunately, thank God, praise the Lord for Anderson Silva. He went out there at the weekend and beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and made it look easy, pimped him. And today, all is restored in the world. You know what I mean? So all you little boxers, get in on your high horse, thinking you're the shit. You can kiss my English ass. There you go.
It does... I think it is almost like it's telling, right? So, like, obviously, Anderson's like an incredible striker, right? Always has been, and obviously a really good boxer. I only watched the highlights over the weekend. I didn't actually watch the entire fight. I'm sure you could break it down a little bit more than that. But you sort of see that, like, no, a really, really high level striker in MMA can hang with a really high level boxer if he trains and commits to it. The whole Jake Paul and Ben Askren thing was sort of a circus altogether because it wasn't a really high level striker in MMA and it's not a really high level boxer. So it wasn't a commentary on MMA versus boxing. It was like a commentary on a YouTuber versus a wrestler.
Whoa. That's what I said. I said, he's not a representative. You can't say that. But everyone was like, no. Even Dana, God bless him, was talking about betting $1 million, right? Everyone was all over it. I was like, no, Ben Askren's going to get his ass kicked. Well, at the weekend, Anderson Silva, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., he was a very respectable boxer. He was a world champion. He had 52 professional victories. I'm not sure, like 6 losses or something like that. Went the distance with Canelo Alvarez not too long ago. Went 12 rounds with Canelo Alvarez, pound for pound, maybe the best boxer on the planet now.
Pound for pound.
And Anderson pipped him. Anderson had fun. Anderson went out there and beat him at his own game at 46 years old. 46 years old. Hasn't won a fight in the UFC for quite some time. And, made it look easy. Could you imagine for one second if in that fight you were watching, if Anderson could, maybe start throwing knees, maybe a cheeky little elbow in the clinch. Heaven forbid he does a double leg takedown and starts using his jiu-jitsu black belt. It just says, listen, the better fighter in there was Anderson Silva by far, and he could only use a tiny part of his skill set. He was very, very limited. And 46.
Yeah, 11 46. Years older than Julio Cesar Chavez. I think it's great. Yeah, good for Anderson. He looked great. He looked like he was having a really, really great time. Good for him. I didn't hear a ton of hype around the fight, though. I knew the fight was happening, and I didn't even know it was happening until it was already when it was happening on Twitter. People were tweeting about it. I was like, oh, shit, I'm missing this.
Yeah, because it, you know, obviously the Jake Paul brothers, they do a good job of, promoting their circus, and Showtime got behind them and Triller and all that stuff. It's seeping into the mainstream, you know what I mean? This was kind of like a regular boxing event. I'm not sure where it took place, but it was on his father's promotion, I believe, Chavez, on his father's promotion. And he missed weight as well. And I don't know what the purses were. I would like to know, but they must be pretty significant because for him missing weight alone, Anderson was given an extra 100,000. You know, I don't know what percentage that is of his purse, but as I say, if they're giving around that kind of money for missing weight, it must have been a decent purse. So good for Anderson. I'm so happy for him. And he looked good. You know, as I say, 46 years old, and, you know, he's lost a lot of fights in the UFC recently, and he didn't end on a high. Uriah Hall knocked him out, as we know. I was concerned for him. I was like, man, because, you know, we had a bit of a beef back in the day, but you got to respect Anderson Silva, what he did for the sport of mixed martial arts, the career that he had, the excitement that he brought to the octagon, and just some of the amazing finishes that he gave us over the years. You have to respect that man. And I was worried. I thought, fucking hell, he's going in there against a top boxer. Or maybe not a top boxer, but a very, very well-respected boxer.
Who's been active. It's not like he's retired and came out to fight Anderson. He's 35 years old. He's been fighting at least twice a year for the past couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, that is really impressive for Anderson, without a doubt.
Yeah, but I was worried because he got knocked out a few times towards the end of his career. And listen, I'm 42, right? All right, granted, I've had a lot of surgeries, but movement and things like that, it's nowhere near as good as what it used to be. I'm assuming in 4 years' time, it's going to get even worse.
There's no way you were ever better than what I had to deal with in sparring. It's impossible. There's no room for improvement. You were damn near perfect.
Lewis, if you would have been in there with me when I was active, listen, I was so happy for him. You know, it was great. I'll tell you what, it was kind of annoying. I don't know if you watched it, a bit of it, the commentary, they were like, oh, he's so herky-jerky, his movements, the rhythm's off and the timing's off. It's like, no, he's just a better fighter in there. He was moving great. He wasn't moving like a spaz. He was moving like a fighter. He was moving like a boxer. Mm-hmm. And he did his old thing in round three. He backed himself into the corner and was like insisting that Chavez, you know, came at him in the ring. I was like, there you go, you son of a bitch. Still got it at the highest level of boxing. Well, not the highest, but the high level of boxing, pulling that shit off. It was cool to see.
Apparently, Anderson Silva was a guaranteed, got a guaranteed purse of $1 million in addition to 50% of the pay-per-view sales. Chavez Jr., on the other hand, walked away with $500,000 in a share of the 50% of the pay-per-view sales. Very interesting. Very interesting. I'd love to see how the pay-per-view did. Like I said, not a ton of hype, but very cool for Anderson. You know, we spoke to Tyron last week on the show. Great interview. We got a lot of press on that, too. People love that interview.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they pulled a bunch of quotes out of it, which is awesome. But he was talking about how it's an easier training. So, Anderson, he's been training only championship-level fights, main event fights, five-round fights in MMA for the better part of, what, a decade and a half, 15 years, maybe two decades? It's fucking wild. Now he can go and sort of, for lack of a better term, rest compared to what he was doing. And if Chavez Jr. missed weight, he probably didn't train as hard as he should have. And that's
let's not take away from the victory and say that he never trained. Let's assume that he did train. You know, he missed weight. He made a little snafu on the scale, But it's funny that you mentioned training harder, because Saturday night when I finished commentary, obviously, we'll get into all those fights in a little bit. And we got Ariel Helwani joining us shortly as well for a few minutes, talking about his new gig. He's left ESPN. No, when I was driving home from Vegas Saturday night, I stopped for gas in Baker or Barstow, one of these weird little desert towns. And I was driving onto the gas station. There was a car, and there was a bunch of people got out of the car, and they were just like standing in front of me, right? And they weren't getting out of the way. And I'm like, there's still daylight, and I want to beat the daylight. I want to get through the desert before it gets black and stuff like that. And I'm like, they're just standing there blocking the way of the car. And I'm like, I almost beat the horn to say, hey, get the fuck out. But I didn't. And I go in the car into the garage. I get myself a coffee while it's filling up. And one of the people goes, oh, you Bisbin, you the UFC fighter? I'm like, yeah. Anyway, they turned out to be the nicest family ever, right? Yeah. And they're all UFC fans, but they'd just come back from a boxing tournament and they all had medals on, right? They'd won gold medals, and there was a little kid that had won one. There was a girl that had won one, and there was a big heavyweight. He'd won one as well. So maybe it's a good job I didn't beat that horn. But still.
How many of them do you think you could have taken if you had
back against them? The lot of them, right? Especially the girl.
head kicked the kid, spinning back fist to the girl.
Easy peasy, man, standing on my head. But no, they said to me, because the girl that had a gold medal on, this was actually very cool. They said, you know who that is? I said, no, I just met her. They said, that is the great, great, great granddaughter of Jack Johnson, the old heavyweight boxing champion. I was like, oh, shit, no way. Wow. So boxing royalty to a certain degree. And anyway, they asked, they said, hey, what's easier, fighting for a boxing, preparing for a boxing match or MMA? What do you think? And I said, well, listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to what you do. I said, but of course, training for mixed martial arts is way harder because we do boxing. Boxing is a part of our preparation, but then you add on all the other stuff and it's going to get harder. So anyway, that was, you just reminded me of that as I said that. Yeah. Shout out Jack Johnson's great, great, great granddaughter and well done at the weekend.
I'm trying to find her name to give her a shout out, but good for her. Maybe the future of boxing, maybe a future mixed martial arts champion that you got to meet in a parking lot at a gas station and you were about to head kick.
She was calling out Clarissa Shields. I'm like, never mind the greatest woman of all time. You got to go through me because your dad is taking far too long getting out of my fucking parking space. No, listen, Anderson looked great. He still looked fast. He looked fluid. You know, he looked like he was having fun out there. He gave a little statement afterwards, which was very nice. I'm going to read it to you now. He says, you know, I am very grateful for all the opportunities that life has given me. He says, I'm very grateful for all the opportunities life has given me, all the difficulties I've been through, and I never stopped believing in my potential. I always dedicated myself to the maximum, overcoming all obstacles, never letting myself get down for absolutely anything. I'm immensely grateful to everyone who was a part of my journey, to those who cheered for my success, and even to those who played against me, because each one of them was a key part to getting here. And then he says, finally, my people, this message is for you. This is very conceive, believe, achieve it.
Also, is this transcribed from Portuguese, or did he say this in English?
No. Well, we'll see, because this gets a bit weird. He says, okay. Finally, my people, this is for you. This message is for you, my followers. Don't stop believing. Do the best with what you have at the moment. Donate 100% in everything you do with your heart and with love. No one but you can dictate the rules of your journey. Kiss, my people, success is the result of hard work, a lot of love, and dedication.
That is definitely translated from Portuguese. There's no, yeah. He's never been that articulate. Anderson in a post-fight speech is like, oh, yes, I like the fight, the Michael Abyss being very disrespect.
Yo, you are disrespecting the great Anderson Silva.
That's
right
his
now.
Voice. That was actually a recording from him for the audience.
It was better than my impression, let's be honest. it really was. But still, no. As I said at the start, I'm joking about the whole boxing thing. But you do got to think a lot of them would have been getting on the high horses over Jake Paul, over Logan Paul, and then, you know. And now Tyron Woodley's going over there. They're like, ooh, these MMA fighters coming over to boxing. It's like, listen. I respect boxing. I love boxing. I was always a big fan of it. And I admire them. And it is very tough. And the skill levels that they have, and they're so good at with their hands, it's beautiful. But I'm an MMA guy. And an MMA guy, an old MMA guy, washed up MMA guy. Some might say, not me, but some might say, went out there and beat your fucking boy at his own game. Oh, you know.
I know. How tempting is it? Just take one little boxing match. One little boxing match.
I would. I know you would. After seeing that as well. Hey. In true egomaniac fashion, essentially, I just beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
You just went the distance with Canelo.
Canelo. With one eye.
With one eye.
With one eye. Five years ago, I beat Anderson Silva.
No knees.
Imagine what I would do to Chavez. Come and see me, Chavez. I'm calling you out right now. Let's go. You ain't shit or your dad. I'll take you both in at the same time. And Jack Johnson's great, great, great granddaughter. And the whole family at the gas station.
This been calling everybody out today.
Calling everyone out. No one's safe.
Bro, you don't want none of this.
All right, let's just take a quick second to talk about the Ridge Wallet. Okay, here is a Ridge Wallet. It is thin. It is small. It is futuristic. It slips right in your pocket, no bulk, no messing around, and you're not going to collect all that junk, you know, those business cards that you don't want, crap, different monies of currency if you're flying all over. If you're a jet setter, if you're not, then I guarantee you're still going to acquire some bullshit. Here's a regular wallet. Look at the size of that. Look at the size of that. Obviously, this is my wife's purse. I couldn't find mine. I've lost my wallet. This thing, you're never going to lose your Ridge Wallet because it's always going to be in there. You don't need to take it out because it's too bulky. Look at that. You just slide it open. You fit all your cards in the middle. You got a little money clip here. Comes in many, many different styles and designs. Let me tell you some of the bump. It holds up to 12 cards. plus room for cash. There's over 30 colors and styles, including the carbon fiber and the burnt titanium. The wallets have over 40,000 five-star reviews. So there's 40,000 people out there felt compelled to go to iTunes and leave reviews or whichever website they use. Maybe it's TripAdvisor. Who knows? The durable material also means that each wallet comes with a lifetime guarantee. Lifetime. Listen, this is a Louis Vuitton piece of bulky nonsense, right? But if Rebecca loses that, ain't no lifetime guarantee. That falls apart. Louis Vuitton ain't giving you shit. Oh, RidgeWallet.com, what are they giving you? Lifetime review. And finally, check this out. They're going to let you test drive this bad boy for 45 days. Yes, that's right. Try it out. See if you like it. You don't like it. You have 45 days to send it back, and you're going to get a full refund. I mean, come on. What more do you want? All you got to do is go to Ridge.com/believe. And if you use that code or you go to that website, Ridge.com/believe, you're going to get 10% off your first order. Trust me, you're going to love this thing. It's small, fits in your pocket. It's sexy. It's a talking point. People are going to love it. These things, big, fat, bulky. In fact, let's have a look in here. She's got too much cash in there. Anyway, Ridge.com/believe. You're going to get 10% off. You're going to love it. Okay. Where were we? What should we talk about?
Well, what'd you do for Father's Day? Well, we're waiting for Ariel. We got a few minutes.
What time is it? Yeah.
Nothing.
Just, you know, nice relaxing day with the family.
It doesn't matter for us, right? The mom gets flowers. They get a fucking brunch, a massage. They get all of that. For me, I get to spend money on everybody. I get to to eat.
Yeah, we went out to eat. We went for sushi.
Who paid for that?
Well, it's always me anyway. Every time. Rebecca doesn't work. I mean, she does. She's got a great job. You know, she has three children. She has a house to look after. And
does that pay her?
And she has fucking Mikey the horse. You know what I mean? But every time when we go out to eat, you know, because women always have their bag on them. I mean, if I had a Ridge wallet, well, I do have a Ridge wallet. You can stick that in your pocket. But those big bulky wallets, I don't take with me. So a lot of the time I don't have my wallet because Rebecca... Or a woman always has a handbag. A woman, I don't know, maybe some women don't, but most women go out with a handbag and they're all the little bits or the female bits inside there. Do you know what I mean? And incidentally, now and again, I do misplace my wallet and Rebecca gives me shit. So, well, I don't have a bag, do I? I don't have a big giant bag that costs thousands of dollars that I bought you, incidentally, to put all my shit in, okay? And anytime we're at a restaurant and the check comes, Rebecca pays for it. And she says, I'm not a real man because I can't pay the bill. I'm like, what are you talking about? The dollars in the bank account that you're using to pay, I put in there, okay? So I do pay.
Doesn't a purse seem so nice? Like, by the way, I left my my belly bag or my fanny pack at your place, by the way. I don't know if there was anything even in it, but I definitely left it at your house.
It's not going to get used.
I know. Well, I love a fanny pack. Don't fucking, you don't wear a fanny pack ever?
Never in my life, not once, never going to start, won't try it, don't, won't even consider it. Get a fucking grip of yourself. I saw you walking towards me with it on. I was like, whoa, he's really going there. What are you doing?
I love it. I love it, dude.
You should fall out of love with it.
Look, it's like a purse that it's connected to your stomach. You got everything right there. You put your cell phone, put your wallet. If you're wearing like, you know, gym shorts or something, I love it. Oh, man, I love it. I really want it back.
Well, you can have it because I'm not fucking touching it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to send Bisping a SpongeBob fanny pack, 151 yeah. First Avenue, New York, New York, number 311.
Yeah, no. It's because you weren't even wearing it across your chest like the cool kids do. Is that, and that's a little played out now as well. There was a little moment there. There was a little moment in time where people reinvented the bum bag, as we call it in England.
Belly bag.
Bum bag. And they turn it into a belly bag, yeah. Yeah, but you weren't even doing that. You just had it around your midsection. It accentuates your midsection. I'm just saying, Lewis. It makes you look larger than what you are.
I'm feeling pretty good about the weight that I've lost, Bisping. You're not going to make me feel self-conscious.
I'm not trying to make you self-conscious. I'm just saying the belly that does remain was being accentuated by your choice of apparel, by your choice of accessory that you were wearing around your midsection. You looked big. In fact, I was embarrassed to be with you.
It's like I'm going bald if I was wearing a sun visor. Like, why would you do that?
What do you mean a sun visor? You know, all the things. Yeah. Anyway, Ariel Helwani, as we know, has left ESPN. I don't know any of the details on that. And he joined BT Sport, which obviously I do some work with now. So I thought I'd reach out to him. So Ariel will be joining us in just a few minutes. We'll get the lowdown on that and see what he's up to. Harrington, show yourself. I want to see what you look like today. What are you wearing? What did you come dressed as? Oh, you came dressed as Harrington.
Yes, sir.
How are you, bud?
I'm consistent, as always.
What did you want to ask Ariel? You said something, excuse me, on the group text earlier. You said, I want to ask him about, what was that?
Oh, so yeah, he took a number of jobs. Took a job with he's back with MMA fighting, doing the MMA hour once again. He's like you said, he's working for BT Sport. In addition to a number of other places, he also signed a deal with Spotify and The Ringer. Spotify is Bill Simmons. I'm sorry, The Ringer is Bill Simmons' company, which he started maybe 5-6 years ago. They're one of my favorite sports outlets, and for me, the signing was exciting just because, you know, in my mind that. Just signifies that they're going to take a bigger look at combat sports going forward.
What is The Ringer? I've never heard of that. It's just like a sports outlet with a report on all sports, but stepping the game up with MMA.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of podcasts. So it's a podcast network, and they also make online content. So they get a lot of my sports from there. And yeah, they also just cover like a lot of pop culture and other weird stuff. So, you know, it's a cool place for real to land for sure.
All right, well, before he comes, we'll just chat about something else. He should be jumping on any second. And he's very, you know, he's a professional, Lewis. He's going to be on time. I think he is anyway. But let's talk about this. Sad news on Saturday. I was commentating, and then John Anik slides me off his phone and shows me Lewis Pena, UFC fighter, arrested on Friday in Florida for sudden snatching, battery, and criminal mischief. Did you see this, Lewis?
I did not see this. What a sudden snatching battery. Did he grab somebody's purse?
Well, that's what it sounds like, doesn't it? It really does. I don't know what sudden snatching is. Maybe Brian O'Harrington just looked that up, see if he can get us a definition of sudden snatching. But if you were to break it down from what it sounds like you walk past and you suddenly snatch something. And if you're going to suddenly snatch something from a woman, it's going to be the bag, for sure.
Do we know it's a woman? Do we know any other details? Or do we know he was arrested for?
If you read the article in the notes, Lewis, you'd have the answer to all these questions.
Or we could just discuss it.
Or
did you not read the article?
No, I did read it. I was there on Saturday night. It is the crime of taking money or other property from the victim's person, which went to permanently or temporarily deprive the victim of the owner of the money or other property. My eyesight's bad. I can't read that. It's in very small text. And on a more important note, here he is again, the man of the moment. Look at this guy. Look at that cheesy smug on his face. Ariel Helwani. What's up, Ariel?
I didn't know. Am I just like crashing the show? I thought you'd put me in sort of like a green room and then I entered the show. I'm actually live on the show right now. Is that how this operation works?
Yeah, it's just a little rinky-dink operation. I'm sorry, Al. I know you're used to the grandiose. You're used to gifts. You're used to people, you know, tickling, stroking your ego. You know what I mean?
None of that, Mike. You know, listen, first off, longtime fan of Louis J. Gomez. So it is a honor to be back on with you. I think we met many moons ago.
We did.
In New York City. So it's good
Robert
to talk
Kelly's
to you.
Robert Kelly's podcast on YKWD in person years ago.
Yep. You know, many people from the New York Times to CNN, to Fox News, they've all reached out for my first comments since this morning's announcement, but I said I was holding out for the Believe You Me podcast, who have supported me since day one, have constantly said nice things about me, and have showered me with praise, and here I am. I was so thrilled when Michael reached out, because let's be honest, I bothered you, Michael, many a year for an interview, and it was a personal victory to have you begging and pleading for me to join your podcast to boost the ratings. So here I am.
Yes, yes, you were very, very bothersome. You are correct. I'll use your own words. And yes, I did champion your career for many years, but is that true, Ariel? Has a lot of people reached out wanting to know the lowdown?
Yes, it has been very nice. It's been a little bit stressful, and a lot of people have reached out, but all good things. I actually just went on a bit of a road trip with my family. That's why I'm in the car right now. And, you know, some people reach out, but this worked out very nicely because I do believe, Michael, I think we're colleagues now. What do you think?
Look at this. I think that you can stop following me around. You know what I mean? Stop trying to emulate my success. I go to ESPN. Ariel comes to ESPN. I go to BT Sport. You come to BT Sport. I mean, what's coming on? I mean, you know, what's happening?
Listen, okay, so the truth is, when I had an inkling that my time at ESPN was coming to an end, you know, a lot has gone on over the last 6 months or so for me, and I think for all of us as human beings, the pandemic, I think we, you know, really had an opportunity to look within ourselves and try to find out what makes us happy. And I just really wanted to be around people who I think would make me happy, who would be great teammates and colleagues who would allow me to be creative and all this stuff. And the truth is, I've been a fan of BT for a very, very long time. And I hope I'm not overstepping my boundaries here, but I actually reached out to them first. And I said, I think you guys, as far as promos are concerned, are the gold standard. I love the European fans. I feel like I've had a connection with the fans. And I'd love to see if there's a possibility here. And over some time, we figured it out. And I'm just very excited to be a part of BT, of going back to the MMA Hour, my old show, doing a show for Spotify, Substack. A lot going on, Michael, as they say. A lot going on. Life is good. I can't complain.
What do you have planned for the MMA Hour? Anything new? Anything planned?
So thank you for that, Luis. And by the way, is it Luis?
It's spelled Luis, but I have no culture. I was raised by white trash, so I say Luis.
And he's ashamed of his upbringing and his heritage as well, so he changes it for that reason. But continue.
Unlike Michael Bisping, who claims every culture is his. He's Polish, he's English,
well,
he's
Scottish,
he's
Polish,
Irish.
Polish royalty. My mother's Irish. I was raised in England. I live in America. I was born in Cyprus. I mean, the list goes on. I'm very, very cultured, but we're not here to talk about me. I'll have won it. So you reached out to BT Sport, and by the way, you're absolutely right. They're fantastic to work for. I'm proud to be a part of the team, and welcome to the team, Ariel. Yeah, please let me officially say that to you. Yeah, looking forward to working with you some more. But exciting times for you then, sir.
Yes, what I liked about the BT people, very heartfelt, very sincere, and very creative people. So I'm very excited about that. The MMA Hour obviously was a show that I did for many years. Michael, you've been a guest on it many a time, and I really missed my old studio. If I'm being 100% honest, I miss the freedom. I miss talking about whatever I wanted to talk about. I miss the independence. These are all things that, look, I have nothing bad to say about my time at ESPN. I have no regrets. I really don't. And the people there, and I know you know some of them and worked with some of them, Michael, now, they're all really great, kind people. But at some point, you know, you look around and you may climb a mountain and you look around and you say, okay, maybe I want to climb this one or maybe I want to climb another one again. And so you'll never hear me say a bad thing about ESPN. But let's be honest, there are restrictions at times. And I really crave that independence and freedom and being able to do what I want, say what I want. And I knew that bringing back that old show would not only mean a lot to me, but it would mean a lot to the fans. And to answer your question, it is now twice a week, not just Mondays. It's Mondays and Wednesdays for about 2.5 hours.
The Believe You Me model.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ariel, we didn't bring you on here.
I copied everything and steal. I did.
We didn't bring you on here to try and steal all of our subscribers, okay? I get it. You have your journalistic integrity, okay? You're a big deal. You want to say your own thing. No, I'm messing around, obviously. No, you're right. The ESPN team, they're great people. They are, and I'm very happy to work with them. But were you exclusively with ESPN? And then, of course, that introduced a few conflicts, for want of a better word.
Yeah, so I was exclusive, and not just conflicts in terms of what I could report on or talk about, but I'm not hating on the situation, but I had to turn down a lot of opportunities because I was exclusive, right?
Yeah.
For example, I'll share another one with you guys, breaking all kinds of news. So I was supposed to be the post fight interviewer for the Ben Askren Jake Paul fight. Great opportunity, and as you know, Michael. You know, they don't really roll out a red carpet for me on the UFC broadcast. So there's no opportunity for me to do that, right? I mean, I can't even get my tweets on the screen, for God's sakes. They've got every jabroni up there, and I can't even get my tweets on there. I mean, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable here, Michael, but let's call a spade a spade. And so, yes, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, listen, you know, maybe those tweets are... that's like the holy grail for people that know what they're talking about in terms of a technicality. You know what I'm saying? And whilst you're great at talking about the fights and you're great at interviewing them, and you're one of the best, Ariel. Everyone knows this. That's why you've been so successful. You don't know shit about how to escape an armbar. I'm just going to throw that out there. In fact, Lewis would know more. In fact, Lewis would out-grapple you. Lewis is returning into a fighter these days, Ariel. I think Lewis could take you. How about that?
Okay, well, I'm not getting into the whole fighting thing. I mean, that's very low rent and low-hanging fruit. But
for savages.
Listen, I've seen enough of those broadcasts. I've seen enough of those tweets. Let's just say there's not a lot of technical analysis from a tweet from Aljamain Sterling who goes, wow, that was great. I think I offer a lot more, all right, if I'm being honest, okay? Anyway, I love Zach Candido. He's a mention of a guy, but let's be honest, they're ignoring my tweets. Anyway,
hey,
this is not
stop putting me, stop. All right, I am not putting you in a difficult position with ESPN, right? I'm playing the game. I know a little bit more, but I'm keeping it quiet. I'm playing the game. You come on here and you throw me under a bus with my employer. What the fuck, Ariel? A little bit of what's the word I'm looking for? What's the word? What's the expression? You know, a little bit decorum. Of decorum.
Quid pro quo?
You just play the game. Can you play the game, Ariel?
I can't play the game, Michael. Independent Helwani is a force to be reckoned with. Wow. Independent Helwani is here.
Ariel Helwani is his own universe. He's got his own orbit.
But it's this attitude that had you escorted out of the forum right before I made history. You know what I'm saying?
And by the way, I still haven't seen the fight, by the way. It hurts too much. It hurts my soul too much to watch it. Because I had my career.
This. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, talk about what happened when you were escorted out of the forum.
Where have you been for the last 5 years? I've talked about this a gazillion times.
Not on our show.
Well, okay. Well, as you know, I was banned. UFC 199. I was escorted unceremoniously. I was told that a bullet was being put in my head, that my career was over, and that I would never cover this sport ever again. And at that exact moment, Michael Bisping was making the walk to fight Luke Rockhold. Michael Bisping, who I care for very much, who, dare I say, consider a friend, who I was thrilled that he was getting this opportunity. We don't have to bring up the phone call that, you know, told him to ask for the fight and all that stuff. Listen, enough about me. Listen.
It's not enough about you. It's not enough about you, because here you are at this moment in time, my greatest crowning achievement, and you're making it all about you. It's like, never mind the fact there was a world title fight going on. The real story was Ariel Helwani being escorted out of the premises. No, listen.
That's not true. That's not true. I felt horrible about it, and I think I even texted you after. I felt like I was taking away. I didn't want to get escorted. I didn't want to be told that my career was over. Trust me, it's the last thing I wanted. All I did was report that Brock Lesnar was coming. Anyway, we don't need to go through all of that.
Yes,
the point is, I want to say to you, Mike, based on what you said before, I would argue that 99% of the coverage that I provide for MMA is positive, is about the fighters and building up fights and all that stuff. This idea that I'm negative, this idea that I'm a shitster, this idea that I'm a troublemaker is all hogwash, is all nonsense. I mean, you see other reporters in other sports talking about way more negative and salacious things than me. But, you know, I found my lane, and I'm very happy, and I'm very blessed, and I have no regrets. And I think what you guys do on broadcast is great, and I like to think I support it. I consider DC a friend, John Anik a friend, Paul Felder a friend, Laura Sank. I mean, like, to me, there's no hate in
no
my
Chael
heart
Sonnen.
Here.
No Chael Sonnen mentioned there.
Well, if I'm being honest, I think Chael should be one of the analysts on the show, not just the pre. And I'm not saying he should take anyone's job, but I think Chael's a great color analyst. Chael's one of my best friends, dare I say. Why are you trying to start stuff, Mike? Why are you trying to start stuff?
I'm just saying, you named everybody apart from Chael.
Okay, well, he's on one. No, I'm talking about the podcast guys, like the ones who are, you know, and Anik and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You say no regrets at all. Is there anything you regret in your career of being a journalist? Is there any moment, maybe a question you've asked? Or is there a moment you might regret? You've been doing it for a long time, and I've watched you almost get beat up like 3 times.
Yes, thank you. There is one regret. I try not to live with regrets, but I'm a very anxious and glass half empty kind of guy. I would say there's one regret, if I'm being fully candid with you guys. It's that when I went to Fox, they told me that I had to get paid by the UFC. And I fought this tooth and nail. I went to the highest of the food chain there. I got my agents involved, all this stuff. And they're like, this is the deal. Fox is paying UFC. UFC is paying the talent. If you want to be on the broadcast, you got to take this deal. And at the time, I have 2 children. I'm in my early 30s. I want to be on TV like everyone else. I want to have my dreams realized. And I accepted this, and I think that was a very big mistake on my part. And honestly, it was the number one rule that you don't break in journalism. You can't get paid by the people that you cover. And that led to other issues down the line, and I think it made the relationship too close. Because before all of that, as much as people want to joke, my relationship with Dana White and the UFC was fantastic. I mean, it couldn't have been better. And so it's just one of those things that if I could do it again, look, I did it and it got me some exposure and it got me on TV and it allowed me to evolve as a broadcast. But I knew in my heart for those 5 years that I wasn't being true to myself and that I shouldn't have done that. And that's, you know, when you ask me regret, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Again, putting me in very awkward spots with all these conversations. Thank you very much. Dana's going to see this. I'm going to be fucking fired on Monday morning. Thank you, Ariel.
How would you renegotiate Bisping's deal? Go.
No, stop. We're not here to talk about that. So BT Sport, Ariel, what are you going to be doing for them? Because I see, I saw the post today, which I shared. You're going to be providing, what was the wording on it now? But what are you going to be doing? Access or something like that?
Yeah, so the thing is, one thing that I love about BT, as you know, Michael, you know, they do not skip out on quality, right? Like everything, like when I think of BT, I think quality, their promos, quality, their coverage, quality, their talent, quality. I mean, I really think that they cover the sport just as good as anyone. And so the one thing that I came up with them was sit-down interviews. I haven't been out in the field in a while, and so I missed the sit-downs, face-to-face, you know, reading someone's body language. I missed that tremendously.
Wow.
Why?
I'm lost for words.
Why?
I just started last week a glorious career at sit-down interviews. Tyson Fury was my first one. Now you come swinging in with the big dick, and you're like, listen, BT, it was okay, but I could have done it so much better. And you've stolen my thunder. What the hell?
This happened in the last 5 days? You think this happened in the last 5 days? I've been talking.
That's the shame bell, Ariel.
I've been talking to them since February. Doing mini documentaries, long form interviews, also hopefully contributing to their pro wrestling, WWE and boxing coverage. And you know, you joke about that, and I hope you are joking.
Of course I'm joking. Of course.
But I just want to say it.
No. Really... Listen, of course. I don't think that at all. That was just a segue for me to bust your balls some more like we always do.
I know. And that's why I love you. But I really try to pride myself, and I hope that my teammates, former and current, would back me up on being a good teammate. And I know, like, let's just talk about BT. Adam, Nick, Caroline, you, Dan, like, I am just a tiny, tiny part. Like, you guys built that house, and, you know, I just want to do my thing and help everyone else. Like, I'm not looking to take anyone's job. I'm not, even at MMA Fighting, I'm not, I really crave and miss being a part of a team. That, you know, when we were part of MMA Fighting back in the day, when I was with them the first time, I felt like we were like, if this means anything to you guys, like the Golden State Warriors of a few years ago. We all knew our role. We all complimented each other. We all worked well together. And I really love that. I don't want to be solo. Like, a few people were offering me things like to be solo, and I really miss being a part of a team. And so when they like told me about that graphic that they want to put out, because I didn't really view it as like, oh, I'm not really helping out on the Fight Week coverage like you're doing, the weigh-ins and stuff, Mike. I was like, wow, you guys would include me in part of the team. Like, that really means a lot to me. And I hope that everyone feels the same about me helping, you know, I believe rising tide lifts all boats.
Well, very well said. You're a very welcome addition to the team, Ariel. Listen, I'm not kissing your ass. You're on here. Everyone knows you're one of the very best in the business. You always impress me with your professionalism, your research. You always know what you're talking about, deliver it very well. You ask good questions, and you are a shit stirrer, but I like that. That's what you want. You don't want very, very passive vanilla questions. You know, sometimes you got to ask questions that's a little bit challenging that maybe the fighter or the person being interviewed doesn't like. So I appreciate that. Lewis, with your finger up at the back.
Ariel, if you were interviewing yourself, being the shit stirrer that you are, what question would you ask yourself in order to stir up some shit? Because we're just trying to be nice right now. And at this point, we've shifted from you guys busting each other's balls to you guys just deep stroking each other's cocks.
It's bad. It's
infuriating. The fans hate it right now. They probably turned the podcast off. But let's just say you were trying to stir some shit. Ariel Helwani, you're on the Ariel Helwani show. Ariel Helwani is right in front of you. What question are you going to ask in order to make a headline?
It's a great question, Louis, Luis.
Jay as well.
What's the J stand for? Just, what is that for?
Well, I'm assuming James, but it's just for pure obnoxiousness. That's all it is.
Yeah.
My name is Michael Gavin Joseph Galen Bisping. I don't say Michael MGJGJ Bisping.
Bisping is a unique name. Like Luis Gomez, three of your gardeners are named Luis Gomez.
Yeah. And if you want a job, you can be the fourth. Ariel, go ahead.
By the way, I love landscaping. I'm a big fan of that field. I've really gone into it. No, it's a great question, and you're putting me on the spot. And I'll give you the question that I think Michael wants to ask me, but I don't think he has the cojones to ask me. So here we go.
Okay. All right. So what is the question that I would not dare ask?
There were reports out there that ESPN offered me a pay cut. And there were some media reporters that reported this first. They also reported that I was going to other outlets. They got it wrong. I don't see them providing a retraction. And so I agree with some who like to say that the state of journalism isn't in the best spot, because it's amazing they wrote these things that I was going to different networks. And as you can see, I'm not going to those networks. Yes, Michael?
Name and shame. Name and shame.
Not my style. They know who they are, but it's all good. So
Harrington Wally Tosh, just Google what he's talking about, so we can name a Jane, but continue, Aaron.
It was Big John McCarthy's podcast.
SportsKeeda.net.
No, I don't know. What the hell is SportsKeeda? I see them pop up.
I have no idea. I've done a couple of interviews with them. Very nice people. It just popped in my head. Go on, continue as you were.
By the way, I'm not talking about Big John. I'm not even talking about MMA media. I'm talking about like sports media type people. I have no hate towards Big John and Josh Thompson. People tell me that they talk shite about me, but if I'm being honest, my threshold for listening to a podcast has to be you have to have more than 5,000 listeners. So once they reach that point, then I'll start listening to them.
Just kidding, guys. So he won't even listen to theirs, but he's on ours. So you don't understand. They keep talking shit about us. I it's like water off a duck's back. You know what I mean? I refuse to acknowledge.
I would say to them, stop talking shit about everyone. Do your thing. Everyone wins. There's enough for all of us to eat. It's a weird approach to be sitting around and talking smack. I have a lot of respect for John. He's a legend, pioneer, trailblazer. Josh is a legend in his own right. Like, I don't get it. But anyway, back to the question that you forced me to ask myself, Mr. Gomez. So there was reports of pay cuts. That is true. Once we got down to it, they wanted to pay me less than I was currently making. And once I got that information, I said, all right, cool. Can I go see what else is out there? They said, sure. And when I went out to see what was out there,
it was out there.
Yeah.
It was out there. So, yeah.
You made the decision. You made, obviously, the decision.
Oh, we lost. Do you get a phone call? We don't hear you, Ariel. I don't know if you hear us. Maybe you got a phone call. And he just hung up.
That's the way he goes. What a fucking baller. That's
the way he goes. Listen, they didn't pay me enough. He left us the way he left ESPN. I'm working for them soon. Again, he's coming on here and he's being like, you know, so real and telling it how it is. But that I'm going to be viewed as a facilitator for this nonsense.
Because he's going to come back, you got to be anti-Ariel. When he comes back, you got to be like, look, I think you fucked up. I think ESPN, you should have taken the deal.
And the worldwide leader.
Hey, Mike, let's just take a moment and thank Paleo Valley for supporting today's show. I'll tell you right now, look, everyone knows. If you're on a diet, even if you're not on a diet, if you're just a normal everyday person on the go, beef jerky or beef sticks or you're, you know, sort of any sort of meat snack that you grab, it's a great treat. It's high protein, low carb, typically low sugar. It really is a great treat. But what you should know is that a lot of times, a lot of things you're buying contain really crappy stuff. If you look on the back of those packages, it's all chemicals. It's all things that you can't pronounce. There's a better way to do it. Paleo Valley Beef Sticks is the way.
Yeah, listen, everybody wants convenient snacks. You know, everybody wants to lose a few pounds and they want to stay in shape. So you think, okay, let's jump on this, the low carb diet, the keto, yeah. Whatever. Well, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Yeah, everyone's trying to do that. Everyone's trying to minimize the carbs. We all know too much sugar and too much carbohydrate is going to make you fat, but you don't want to do that at the expense of putting shit inside your body. And obviously, as Lewis just said, those ones at the gas station, they're full of hormones, which are linked to cancer. And multiple experts agree that there is no acceptable level that humans should be exposed to. MSG, monosodium glutamate, unhealthy inflammation, weight gain, blood sugar issues, and mechanically separated chicken. Do I need to continue? Okay, I will. Brominated vegetable oil. Yeah, there you go. First patented as a flame retardant, Lewis.
Jesus, nobody wants flame retardants around.
Listen, if you're going to be a flame, you got to be smart around me, okay? I do not want a retardant flame. Now, listen, The great snacks on the go, good for the kids. They are very, very healthy, as we say. They are 100% grass-fed beef sticks made inside the USA. They're awesome. They taste delicious as well. Let's not forget that. They taste great. So there you go. All you got to do, check these out. You're going to love them. As I say, great health snacks on the go, convenient as well. Good for you, good for the kids, and probiotics, which they are full of, aid in digestion and gut health. All you got to do is go to paleovalley.com. You're going to love these. Trust me, they're awesome. They're very delicious. They've got the out in my house very fast. So Paleo Valley, if you're listening, send me some more, please, because I'm all out. PaleoValley.com is the website. Believe15 is the code for you to get 15% off your first order. PaleoValley.com, Believe15.
You love the show, obviously. Go to our YouTube, subscribe, hit the notification button. You get a notification every time our brand new episodes are dropping. New episodes every Monday and Thursday night, typically at midnight Eastern. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, really anywhere you get a podcast, you can find the Believe You Me podcast. And if you guys want the archives, the on-demand library, all the episodes we've ever done from the very beginning, you get them all ad-free, all uncensored, all in one place, gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM and the great Ariel Helwani returns. Bisping did not look. Bisping's he's not happy with the stuff you're saying right now.
What kind of rinky dink operation is this? I get a phone call and the whole thing shuts off. What the hell?
Well, jeez. Hey, listen, you're the one in your car, you're on the road, you're so big time, you take your time out before you start on your new career, before you embark on stealing everybody's jobs, mine included. But, you know, you got to think ESPN, worldwide leader in sports, Ariel, watched all over the world. I mean, have you made a vicious enemy in your career? I mean, because, yeah, it's all la-di-da, it's all well and good, it's all handshakes as you leave through the door. But as soon as you walk out, they're like, fuck Ariel, okay?
No, easy. I don't think so. I heard from a lot of my now former colleagues today. Like I said,
colleagues
trying to get me to burn a bridge.
The colleagues are like, Ariel was great. The big wigs are like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, to your face, everyone's going to be nice. Yeah. But behind your back, you should hear what they're saying to Bisping.
Oh, they've texted me.
Yeah,
DC is not happy with you. DC's been talking shit big time. No. So go on.
How dare you? How dare you, Michael? As my wife is here cleaning up our car, you trying to slander my good name.
Well, I mean, do apologize for swearing in front of your lady. No. I do sincerely apologize.
The truth is, I was okay before and I was okay after. And like I said, no regrets. I got to do NBA stuff for ESPN. I got to host shows. I got to go on the road. I got to be on SportsCenter, like all great things. And then you see an opportunity to A, go back home, B, have more freedom, more independence, get to work with the BT and stuff. Like, it was just, it was all right. It worked out. Look, if I'm being 100% truthful with you guys, I'm happy I lasted 3 years there. When I signed before the UFC signed their deal with ESPN, we all know what happened at Fox. I thought I wasn't even going to last a day. I thought I wasn't going to make it to 3 years. So I made it to the end. Victory for me. And we all shake hands and we're in a good spot. No hard feelings here, regardless of what you may try to say.
I see a pattern forming, Ariel, that you're a square peg in a round hole. You don't seem to fit in, you know?
Guess what? Guess where I'm not a square peg in a round hole? The MMA Hour, the show that I built, the gold standard, the number one show in the history of mixed martial arts, building names, bringing names. Conor McGregor's first American interview was on my show. So don't forget it, Michael. And guess what? When you got the fight, you came on my show first. And when you won the belt, you came on my show first. Why? Because the world watches the Mixed Martial Arts Hour. And it's back, and it's better than ever.
Wow. I mean, you are not winning over any new fans with this attitude, though. Okay. I know it's tongue in cheek, but Americans don't get the sarcasm. I'm sorry. They just don't. Saturday night, I said to Dominic Cruz, I said, 10-8 rounds. I said, somebody challenges me on 10-8 rounds. I said, are you a Hall of Famer? And I was joking to Dominic Cruz. Maybe that's why people don't like you, Mike. You know what I mean? I'm like, Jesus Christ, Dominic. It was a fucking joke. I have never said that sentence in my life. Lewis, what do you got?
Just last question for me, because you'd mentioned Conor doing the first interview on your show, and I thought that was an interesting factoid. I did not know that. But, you know, Conor at this point, I don't want to say he's fallen off. He's still a massive star, but we are reaching a new generation, right? We're coming into a sort of a new era of mixed martial arts, a new era of the UFC. Who do you think's the next big draw? Who's the next Conor? Who's the next Brock? Who's the next Ronda?
Paddy Pimblett. Maybe that's what that's what they're saying. The same Paddy Pimblett, he's got a lot of hype coming out of the UK in a similar kind of scenario.
I wasn't sure if you were being, because I know you kind of have like a secret grudge against all the UK stars because you don't want them to be bigger than you ultimately were. So I wasn't sure if for being serious.
Never going to happen, so it's fine. There can only be one. I'm like the Highlander over here. There can only be one, and that's me, baby. Okay? Anyone can come before me. Darren Till can win the belt. Was he the first? No. Paddy Pimblett can go and become a three-weight division champion. Was he the first? No. So there you go. Talk all the shit you want, Ariel.
How did you get that fight again? What were the circumstances?
Well, some little rat journalist that doesn't know how to mind his own business was inserting himself in the conversation once again. Hey, listen, before we let you go, what did you think of Anderson Silva Saturday night?
Okay, well, you do not want me to answer Lewis.
This bitch doesn't care about my questions.
I forgot. No,
what kind of operation? I mean, here I am trying to give you a thoughtful answer. Okay, I'll answer both. I thought
Tell me, answer Lewis's. I do want to know the answer to that question. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I still think Izzy is a star, and I know he stumbled recently, but that was a great win. And look, you know, he says things sometimes that are polarizing, but that guy to me oozes confidence, oozes charisma. He's an unbelievable talent. And I just kind of look at, like, you know, my younger cousins and stuff. They all want to talk about Israel Adesanya to me. And so that to me signals the fact that this is a breakthrough star. I think
you really went out on a limb and picked Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, I'll tell you. Okay,
Captain Obvious over here.
I'll go out on a limb. Before his career is over, this is one guy that I've been, you know, I think hyping up a lot. Before his career is over, Corey Sanhagen will be a UFC champion. Corey Sanhagen, is that good enough? Is that a good enough
one
for you?
No, it's not. He's currently a number one contender. He just knocked out Frankie Edgar. He knocked out someone else with the spinning wheel kick and a flying knee. I mean, the guy's fighting TJ Dillashaw. And then after that, he's going to be the champ. That is not a hot take. I'll give you a hot take. Before his career is over, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson will be welterweight champion of the world.
It's not a bad one. That's not a bad one.
It's better than Corey Sanhagen.
I mean, he's fought for a belt, Corey Sanhagen hasn't. Corey Sanhagen was submitted by the current champion. And I said this the night that he got submitted. But fair enough. I think Chito Vera is going to fight for a UFC title before his career is over as well. I don't know if that's a hot enough take for you. And speaking of Chito, he fought on Saturday, as did Anderson. You see that segue there? That's a professional broadcaster.
I'm learning, Ariel. I'm learning. I'm sitting here. I'm in awe. I'm watching you. I'm like, you know, this guy's so good.
I'm just hoping to stick around long enough so I can have Callum Bisping on my show to talk to him after one of his big wins. I'll give you a hot take.
Yeah. I'll give you a Saturday. No, yesterday, led by the pools, Father's Day, relaxing. He calls up because he's, he's getting more and more involved. He trains at Team Alpha Male now. He won a couple of jiu-jitsu tournaments recently. Obviously, he's a good wrestler. He said, I cornered my buddy in an MMA match on Saturday night, and he absolutely destroyed his opponent. And I know I can beat the crap out of him. He said, Dad, will you train me for a fight?
So, that's huge.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know how I feel about it, because he's a smart kid. He doesn't need to go down that route. You know what I mean? But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But still, there you go. 20.
Yeah, it was cool.
I mean, if we're being honest, it felt inevitable. Ever since we saw him throw the flying armbar after the Dennis Kang fight. Don't forget, Michael, I've been here for a long time, been following your career. I remember these moments, all right? These are beautiful moments. And now we're seeing Callum come to his own. This man is going to break all your records. He's going to be champion. It's not going to take him 28 fights to get to a UFC title fight. It's going to take him 2.
Yeah, but when he does get there, guess what? There's only fucking one Highlander, and that's me. His career will pale into insignificance compared to mine. Darren Till, Leon Edwards, Callum Bisping, these are just, you know, filler. You know what I mean? There's only one star.
That is unbelievable. I'll just say, I don't remember the last time, and there's maybe one, and maybe I'm a victim of the moment. I don't remember the last time I went to bed after watching a fight of any kind, feeling the kind of like happiness and warmth that I had in my heart after seeing what Anderson Silva did on Saturday. That, regardless of what you may think of his career, and, you know, he had the PEDs thing, in my opinion, should not be forgotten about. Those are big things. And the war with you and everything, like, you know, the fights against Dallas Ladies and Damien. To see Anderson, who, I don't care what anyone says, is a legend, a pioneer, a trailblazer, one of the all-time best, who had been campaigning, begging to box for the past 10 years, to do that not only in a boxing match against some schmo, but against a pretty damn good boxer. Now, I know Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. isn't what he once was, and I know he hasn't quite lived up to his father's, you know, legacy, and that's putting mildly. But to see Anderson look like that, and vintage Anderson calling him to the corner, I mean, it was beautiful. How could you not feel happy for the man? And let's be honest, he's now opened himself up to massive paydays. You know, everyone's been calling. And I just think it's great. They parted ways with the UFC, you know, all good. He was put in some fights that he probably should have been put in. For him to be able to control his destiny and go out doing the sport that he was begging them to do for all this time, just a beauty. A lot of people don't win after they leave, and they try to hang on too long, and it feels like Anderson is winning, and I'm delighted for him.
Yeah, just a little note to self, when you have guests on, you allow them to talk, but at some point you got to shut them up, because like you're talking way too much here, Ariel. You know what I mean? By the way,
Michael, you told me 10 minutes. I've been on here for 32 minutes, for God's sakes. You told me 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. By the way, I know. I'm bored out of my mind.
Great move on your part. It's a great move on your part.
This episode is going to be called Overstaying Your Welcome.
That's pretty funny. No, listen, Ariel, you're absolutely, listen. You're absolutely right. It was beautiful to see that from Anderson because, you know, obviously we had that weird rivalry, but that was only because I respected him so much. You know what I mean? And he looked so good. He looked so fluid and the conditioning was there. Everything was there. He looked like vintage Anderson. And I was saying to Lewis at the start of the show, I was worried because Chavez, yeah, okay, as you said, not really what he was once upon a time, but he's still a very, very good boxer. And Anderson's 46. He's been knocked out a few times. I was very worried for him going into that one, but he looked sensational. I could not be even happier. Could not be any happier, pardon me, for him.
And there's a part of me that doesn't even want to see him fight Roy Jones Jr. Like, hey, let's, because if he fights Roy, it's going to be an exhibition bout because Roy's too old at this point. Why can't Anderson fight some other, like, you know, 35, 36-year-old guys? Like, he looked great out there, honestly, and I think he'll only look better.
And let me leave you on this one. Last question. What do you think of just recently all this? There's a lot of MMA boxing crossovers, you know, and it seems like we're going to see more of them now as well. Certainly Anderson, I don't think that's going to be the last time we see him in the ring. I personally would love to see him face Roy Jones Jr. I think that would be amazing. He's called for it for so long. But what do you think of this whole situation right now?
I don't hate it. And I'll say the reason I don't hate it is I want to see the fighters get paid more. I want to see the fighters get more options. I want to see the fighters go out on their own terms. I want to see, you know, I want to see Nick Diaz box, Nate Diaz box. I want to see Anderson Silva box. I would have loved to, like, to me, listen, you could say a lot about me. I don't agree with some of it. You call me a shitster, an instigator. I just think I'm doing my job. But the one thing you can ever say about me is I've always been about the fighters first, and I want the fighters to get paid and get what they are worth. And there are times, without getting too into it, I don't think they get what they are worth. And so I would be delighted to hear that Anderson is making bank and I want to see other fighters. And if it means having to go to boxing, then so be it. But you guys sacrifice your lives for our entertainment, your health, your safety. You should be getting paid more. And I'm liking this new trend. I'm delighted for Tyron Woodley. Biggest payday in his career at 39 years old against Jake Paul. How could you not be happy for the guy?
What's your pick on that?
What's your pick?
What's your pick on that one, Ariel?
I would like to reserve the right to make the pick until closer to the fight, if only because I want to see, you know, I really think this is one of those, I want to see their body language the week of the fight, because what's been the knock on Woodley the last few years? He's been too distracted. He's making music. He's doing this. He's living a life, all that. Is he locking himself? Like, I would love to see Tyron Woodley go Big Bear and lock himself in a cabin and be away from the world. No TMZ shows, no nothing. Go out there and remind people of the champion you are. So let's see how the next 2 months go.
Well, he came on our podcast last week, and as he pulled up, as he came on the podcast, he was off to a studio to go record some music. So he's not dialed in 100%, but I don't think he needs to be against Jake Paul. Anyway,
do you agree with my assessment? He needs to be dialed in.
No, he absolutely needs to be dialed in. The last four fights, he never showed up. He didn't even fight. He just relied on that one-shot power. I asked him about it, you know, and he kind of agreed to that. I don't know what happened. He kind of just checked out mentally. You know, physically, he's always still been there. It's not like his chin failed him or there was too many injuries. I think maybe just, you know, maybe a little too big for his boots in his mind. Maybe it happens sometimes, you know, we've all been there as fighters. Certainly when you're the champion of the world and everyone's kissing your ass, it's very, very hard, you know, and even the best men can fall prey to that sometimes, you know. So I think that was an issue. Yeah, we'll see. I'm happy for him. I said to him, I'm so happy he's making all this money after his UFC career. So many people, when the run is done in the UFC, they disappear into obscurity and you don't really hear from them again. I am so happy for them. They're still making money. But still, Ariel, happy for you, my friend. Looking forward to working with you on BT Sport. Hopefully we get to work together in person pretty soon. And on that note, seeing as you complained about the time, get the hell out of here, buddy.
Thank you, guys. And let the record show the exclusive interview. The world was asking. Oprah. I mean, Piers Morgan, everyone wanted it, and I came to you guys. So if I ever hear you slander my good name, talk any shite about me, I'm coming for both you jabronis. I'll bury you where you stand, all right?
We don't swear on this show. Brian, just hang up on that man, please. Get rid of him. Calls himself a professional. My God. No, thank you, Ariel. That was great.
Yeah, he's funny, man. He's great.
No, he is.
I'm surprised he remembered me. Dude, it was like a decade ago that I did that podcast with him.
How could someone forget you, Lewis?
I am
the Puerto Rican rattlesnake. Come on.
People love me. They hate me. I'll tell you one thing. You're never going to forget me.
Never, ever, ever. I've tried. It's impossible. I have tried. We were just talking about Luis Peña. That's a shame for Luis Peña before Al came on. Ariel, thank you for doing that, my friend. Looking forward to working with you, hopefully on BT Sport. If that's only if he's not just going to steal all my work, as it sounds like he's going to. I thought, oh, I'm going to be this big-time interviewer now, doing all the big names, and Ariel comes in. Luis Peña arrested. You know, he put a tweet on a few days ago as well, talking about mental health, saying that he's been through some stuff recently. Didn't go into too many details, so I wish Luis Peña, all the best. We've got about 23 minutes left in the show. I apologize. I had some technical issues at the start. Let's get into the fights of the weekend.
Do we wish him all the best, or did he rob an old lady's purse? Time out. We can't just...
Well, no, you're right. If he robbed an old lady's purse, then he deserves what's coming to him. But if he is going through mental health struggles and he's not himself, then I wish him all the best on his road to recovery, and I hope he gets the help that he needs. And unfortunately, if you're going out there and you're robbing people, then yeah, you got to pay the Piper as well. It's a tough road that he's going to be on. You know, Luis Peña, it's crazy because he didn't have the most success in the octagon, but he was very good. And I called a few of his fights, and I remember every time watching this man and thinking, if you just get it all together, you just make it all click. He was championship material. I'm telling you, he had a great work ethic. He had great striking, very, very tall for the weight class, good takedowns and wrestling. Yeah, no, he had a lot of ability.
So the other thing, the other side of this is, like, because I'm looking at the details and I don't see any specific details about what happened in the event. It just says he's arrested for this. It could also be he got into a fight with some dude and fucking grabbed his cell phone, right? And like, yeah, in the middle of, like, an argument, maybe the guy was taking a video or a picture, whatever it is. So until the details come out, obviously, I think when somebody is dealing with mental health issues, when I almost look at it as a red flag. Like, he's got a UFC career. He has, like, all the potential in the world, obviously. And then to be getting in trouble and to... Obviously, there's something going on. So hopefully it's not him, like, being an actual criminal or being an actual,
yes,
you know, creating a victim. And hopefully it's a misunderstanding, or it's just some fucking shit between some dudes and, you know.
Yeah. No, I hope so as well. Listen, I'm just looking at the notes there. Sorry, I wasn't ignoring you. We're short on time, and it's my fault today. Not Lewis's. I updated my computer yesterday, and it fucking took about an hour to turn back on. I'm actually on my laptop right now. It was quite frustrating, so a little short on time. A lot of news that we never got to last week, but of course we had the fights on Saturday night. We've got to talk about Marlon Chito Vera versus Davey Grant. What a fight. They both got 75,000 Fight of the Night honors. Very, very happy for the pair of them. Davey got off to a great start. I thought he won round 1-10-9. Just a little bit too busy for Marlon. He was very active, just chipping away. Didn't land anything particularly overall significant or damaging, but he landed more. He was the busier guy. And I remember at the end of round one, Perillo said to him, he said, you know, take your time out there where you're struggling to get going, you know, and it was a nice candid talk. Mm-hmm. And then Perillo said, remember, he's got a body too. Go to the body. Obviously, round two and round three, the tide was turned big time. Great fight, though. I mean, those elbows, those lead elbows from Marlon, landed like four or five in a row. Beautiful work.
Cut him up. Did you see the picture of Davey Grant after the fight?
I did. Like, poor guy.
Zombie.
I know. But you know what, Davey? The guy that he never stopped smiling. Even though he's covered in blood, like he says, a zombie. You know what I mean? Still with a big smile on his face. The nicest guy ever. He really is.
And performances like that, whereas it sucks to lose. And obviously, it's easy for us to sit here on our couch. Like, it also sucks to get beat up and your body's in essentially a car crash, right? Like, the physical damage that's done to your body. But David Grant will walk out of that fight, even with a loss, with more fans that he came into the fight with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as you said, someone's got to lose. But in that kind of fight, his stock I would assume in terms of the UFC's eyes only went up. The fight after that was Sergey Spivak versus Alexei Oleinik, and that was a little bit, it was a bit of a change in tempo, shall we say, in terms of the fight that was just on. And then certainly in terms of the post-fight interview afterwards, Sergey Spivak didn't really say anything. It was a very awkward interview for me. You know, I ask a question and he just basically tells me to go fuck myself in Russian. Didn't say that, but he answered. It was just like, yes. He essentially said, yes, this is good. I'm like, okay, this is a really good talk. And I was thinking afterwards, why wasn't Marlon and Davey the co-main event? That should have been the co-main event. All everyone knew when you looked at that fight card, that was going to stand out as the fight of the night, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And it was an incredible performance by both of them. I was happy for, it's so weird. This is the first time where there was two guys that are friends of the show that have come in that I really like both of them. I got to hang out with Cheeto, who's a cool dude, man. Cheeto, all I want to do is I want to smoke a blunt with Cheeto in a fucking trailer somewhere and maybe take some mushrooms and then stare at some fish tanks or something. He's the coolest guy I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. And, you know, afterwards in the cage, you know, I'm doing the interview and Perillo says, hey, get a picture. And, of course, I'm like, yeah, I would love to get a picture. Perillo's my coach and mentor for a long time. Marlon is a teammate now and I know all his friends. And I'm in the cage anyway. So, I'm yeah, sure, okay. And then I shared it on social media, but I felt really bad because I've known Davey for a long time. I used to train with him as well back in the day. Right. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm taking sides or whatever. But Davey's a big guy. He understands. I'm just in there and I'm proud of them both. It was an amazing fight. That's like my children in there, Lewis.
Of course, of course. I mean, and honestly, if Davey would have asked for a picture, you would have just taken a picture with Davey.
I'd have said, no fucking chance.
Not you a loser.
You want me to disrespect Marlon? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, if he has, I'm sorry, bro. I don't take pictures with losers. Okay, how are you, man? If you'd have won, Marlon, Davey, if you'd have won, I'd have taken one. No, great fight. Amazing fight.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Blue Chew for supporting today's show. Blue Chew, an incredible sponsor that's been with us for a really long time. If you guys don't know, it's essentially a performance enhancement drug for the bedroom. It is the same active ingredient as Viagra or Cialis, so you know it works, except it is in a little chewable tablet that acts faster. You can eat it on a full or an empty stomach, and it really is just a better way to get the job done in the bedroom.
Yeah, look, listen, and we're not talking about necessarily erectile dysfunction, although it will help with that. This is a performance enhancement, so you don't need to have anything wrong with you to take advantage of the great benefits that Blue Chew will give you. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, as I say, all done online. No awkward conversations, no picking up the prescription in the pharmacy, and your significant other doesn't even need to know. All they're going to think is, wow, Harrington rocked my world last night. And that is a sentence that no one would ever say unless Harrington was delving into the Blue Chew. And I'm sure he's robbed a few of yours on occasion, Lewis.
Without a doubt. And I can be honest with you, the difference is apparent, though. So you don't want to just, like, if you've been married to the same chick for 10 years, then all of a sudden one day it's like, wow, what is going on? She's going to notice a big difference. So you need to have an excuse beforehand. Let her know it's her birthday. Let her know you can't, you know, you have a reinvigorated thing with her. You want to renew your wedding vows, whatever it is, you will notice a difference.
Listen, if you've, if she feels like you're falling in and out of love with you or her, take one of these and she's going to think you love her like crazy. Listen, all you got to do is go to bluechew.com to take advantage of this. As always, got a great offer. We're going to give you the first month for free. All you got to do is go to bluechew.com, use the code BELIEVE at checkout. You're going to get your first month for free. You're just going to pay $5 shipping. The chewables work twice as fast. Take them on a full or empty stomach. You know, if you want to chow down and go to work, you can do that. If you're intermittent fasting, but you're still getting a little horny, doesn't matter. Chew it up. Chew it. Do it. Go to bluechew.com. The code is BELIEVE. First month for free. $5 shipping is all you got to pay. Okay, where were we? Let's just talk about Matt Brown real quick. Matt Brown, Saturday night, went in there with 11 knockouts on his record in the UFC. 11 in the UFC alone, more outside the UFC. Tied second for most knockouts. If he had one more, he'd tie Vitor Belfort, pains me to say, for the most knockouts in UFC history.
Can I say that some of those Vitor knockouts have asterisks because he was fighting fucking Frank Pizzoli face in UFC 7 or whatever the fuck it was?
Yes, and then at the end, he was fucking on so much testosterone and steroids that they don't even count either. So Matt Brown is the unofficial leader in terms of knockouts, but man, he delivered another one. Diego Lima, big guy, good movement, long, very long and rangy, used his calf kicks well. He was chopping up that calf kick of Matt Brown, and I was thinking, man, at 40 years old, you know what I mean? Matt's got a lot of miles on the clock. You know, he's won a lot of fights, but he's also lost a lot of fights as well. What just happened there? I just think Ellie's email just kicked in. Get rid of that. Sorry, pardon me.
This is where we find out Ellie's a drug dealer.
Yeah, she's been using my computer. What was I saying? Oh, Matt Brown, yeah, 40 years old. You know, you can't do it forever. And I was kind of concerned. Diego Lima, way less miles on the clock. But I'm saying, wow, what a beautiful right hand. Yeah. I mean, he's spun him round, face planted him, out cold for a while as well.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Brown, you got to be happy for him. All those old school guys you love. I've met Matt Brown a couple times, and he's just such a nice guy as well. So yeah, got to be super happy for him. I think what has he got? He's got like one or two fights left in his contract. He called out a few other people. I think it was Damian Maya and some other people. Look, but... Matt Brown, he's just the type of guy from that generation. There we go. Bang.
I mean, there it is. Bang. Ooh. Look at that. I mean, he was out. He was out for a while. You know, it was a beautiful right hand. And he was looking for it a lot. I even said in the commentary, I'd like to see him add something behind that because he's looking for the one shot where Lima was piecing together two, three attacks at once. You know what I mean? And one shot generally isn't going to get it done. But as soon as I said that, of course, Matt Brown made me look stupid, hit the one shot, got the right hand, put him to sleep. And that was that. That was a wrap. Matt Brown's awesome though. He's so intense in everything. Harrington, welcome to the show. What can we do for you, sir?
Sorry, I just dropped it in the comments, but after the fight, he said he was looking for bouts with either Cowboy, Robbie Lawler, or Demian Maia. He's lost to all three of those, so he wants those wins back, which, you know, you got to kind of applaud in the twilight of your career.
Cowboy, Robbie Lawler, or Demian Maia. I don't think he's going to get Demian Maia. That's gone. Cowboy, maybe.
Robbie would be a fun one.
If I'm Cowboy, I'm avoiding that fight like the plague. No disrespect to Cowboy, but he needs a win. And who was the other one? Robbie Lawler. When's the last time Robbie Lawler fought? I mean, he hasn't fought in a while. Is he even still with the UFC? I wasn't sure if he'd retired.
I just looked up in the other day. I think he fought more recently than we're thinking, but it hasn't been super active.
And then also, we're going to give a special mention. Yes, Hamilton.
Decision loss to Neil Magny in August of last year.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to give a shout-out to Songwoo Choi from South Korea as well. He went out there and starched Julian Erosa. I was really excited for that one. I thought that was going to be a Fight of the Night contender as well. Erosa, very good boxer, brings a lot of forward pressure. And, again, Songwoo Choi cracked him. And I had the dubious pleasure of Saturday night of interviewing a lot of people via a translator. It's hard. It's hard. Well, there's no crowd there either. Do you know what I mean? It made me very self-conscious about myself because sometimes if you've got a good translator, you can keep it flowing, but the translators, I'm not calling for anyone. I'm not doing an Errol Hawani. Okay, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. I'm not throwing me Bisping, under the
look,
bus.
Bisping gets his paycheck, he goes home, he says nothing else. He's happy. He's happy with his life. He's happy with his career. He's happy with his relationships. Errol Hawani, he wants some changes in his life. He wants
some people to get fired. The translators were making it really hard. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, come on. You got one job. Translate it. Tell me what they said. They said something more than that. Sergey Spivak wasn't good. In the main event, the Korean Zombie, again, this poor lady, Jessica. I don't know why his coach, Eddie Char, didn't do it. He's a great guy. He's got a good personality. Speaks perfect English and perfect Korean. He coaches him. But still, the post-fight interview wasn't the best just because of the language barrier. But the performance from the Korean Zombie, man. Listen, Dan Ige is as tough as they come. He has got such fast hands. He's got such a will to win. He's well-rounded. Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, decent takedowns. Guy was on a roll. He just knocked out his last opponent, Gavin Tucker, in 22 seconds. The Zombie went out there and just, with respect to Ige, you know, coasted to a victory, really got a takedown whenever he wanted it. On the feet, it was pretty even, but the takedowns were the big differentiator. A lot of control time down there. But I tell you what, Ige impressed me, though. He never stopped trying. And in the fifth round, he went out there and had one of his best attempts. Okay, he got taken down and controlled at, you know, halfway through the round, but the round started good. And I remember his cornerman in between the rounds saying, come on, your kid's watching. What's the kid's name? Sorry, pardon me, I can't remember. But the kid was there. I can hear talking. Can anyone else hear talking? Is that me?
I can't hear anything.
It's the voices in my head. Yeah. His cornerman was like, your kid's over there. Your wife's over there. It's the fifth round. Come on, I need everything you've got. And I was like, whoa. It was quite the speech. It was very Rocky-esque. And he went out there and started doing great things. I was like, holy shit. Could you imagine after getting that talk that he goes out there and finishes him in the fifth round?
I'd say, hey, fuckface cornerman, how about you give him that talk between the first and the second?
Final round. Empty the bag. Empty the sack. Let's go. Blow you one. Don't do it in the first round, okay? Don't blow you one in the first round.
Hey, get out wrestled for the previous four rounds. Then this next round, your kid's right there.
It was a great speech. I'd like to focus on that side of things. So well done, Korean Zombie, and well done to Eric Nixick and Dan Ige. Commiserations, but you'll be back. You're still a young man. We got a few minutes left. Let's get through some of these notes. This was a good one here. Adesanya said last week that he was offered the coaching role on The Ultimate Fighter against Darren Till. So that's very interesting.
That'd be fun.
Adesanya says he was offered the coaching position on Tough against Darren Till, but passed it up because he believes he would have sunk too low in his efforts to troll Till. He said, "It got offered against Darren, and instantly I said no. Personally, I don't want cameras in my face that much, and I don't want to be stuck in Vegas for that long. I mean, what does it take to make good reality TV? It takes drama, a lot of drama, and I'm a troll. Darren's a troll, and I feel like I would have gone to my lowest form of myself. The pranks that they'd play, I could go lower. And people don't understand, like, I take the high road a lot, but when it's time to go low, I do the limbo." And he's right.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think you're right. In watching his interviews and sort of how fired up he got against Marvin Vettori, and like in these moments, like, yeah, I think he lets go more and gets a more, I don't even know if because he is a troll, because it was Marvin Vettori that was losing that battle. Marvin was getting really emotional, and maybe it seemed like Israel was getting emotional, but I think he was doing a really good job at getting inside of Vittori's head, and he is very charismatic. I will tell you right now, you put those two in The Ultimate Fighter, I'll be watching The Ultimate Fighter again.
Oh, no, absolutely, 100%. No disrespect to Volkanovski and Ortega. Mm-hmm. I haven't caught an episode yet simply because
Has it started? I have no idea.
No, it has. It's on Wednesdays on ESPN Plus, so check it out. I've been too busy. I haven't had a chance to check it out. But again, if it was Till and Adesanya, I probably would have gone out of my way a little bit to check it out. And Adesanya's right.
They used
right.
to do that, by the way. They used to put massive, like, yeah. And that's Volkanovski and
that's a title fight. It's a big, big fight. But on that, though, the thing is, when you're on The Ultimate Fight, it is a performance the whole time because the cameras are there. And as human nature, if you're a performer, if you've got any kind of charisma, when the camera's rolling, you do step it up a little gear. I don't consciously do it, but when the camera comes on, you know, the persona comes out, and you know, you're trying to play up to it a little bit. You're trying to be the man, you're trying to be who you are. And certainly if you're against an opponent that you're going to fight down the line, you know, there's posturing, you start a little bit of shit talk, they shit talk back. Next minute, you're making a dick out of yourself on national TV.
Next minute, you're coming in somebody's sushi.
On international TV, and I've done it many times. I've lowered myself, and I read that statement. I was like, "Do you know what, Israel? You're smart because you're absolutely right."
And he doesn't need it, really.
He does not need it at all. That's actually a really good point because he's a massive star. He's a dominant champion, you know, and he doesn't need to go make a dick out of himself on TV to get some new fans. You know, the man's a superstar, like Ariel said, you know, probably the next biggest star after Conor that we have now. It is interesting, though, that they offered Darren that, though. That was a big missed opportunity for Darren because Darren would have been awesome on there and obviously would have got a title fight at the end of it.
Darren probably would have done it, to be honest. We'll ask him next time he's on the show. I'd love to get his thoughts on it. And honestly, Darren's perfect for a show like that. Maybe we'll see Darren Till as a coach on The Ultimate Fighter one day. I do think they need to have some charismatic, big personality types that are already established as MMA stars, even if it's older school guys. Like I said, I know we talked about you going back and doing it again. Would you ever do that again? Would you, if they said Bisping, come back as a legend coach? Obviously, you can't fight at the end of it.
I would 100%. And I've thought about this before simply because I'd like to go on now. I've matured a little bit, not too much, but I've matured a bit. I think I'd go on there and just put my best foot forward a little bit more. It's in the past when I was fighting, I didn't give a shit about none of this external stuff. I didn't give a shit about how I was being perceived. I was in my own mind. I was doing my own thing. I was doing whatever I wanted to do, a very selfish approach. I wasn't thinking about how it might reflect on my country or how it may reflect on my children or my wife. For anything I was doing, I was just going out there, being a little obnoxious, being thuggish, you know, getting drunk, doing whatever I want, because it doesn't matter, because I'm going to step in an octagon, I'm going to fight, and no one can take that fucking away from me. But now it's a little bit different. Now I'm like, I've got to do jobs, and you know, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that, and you've got to.
Well, now you're on social media, you get feedback instantly when you're being a dickhead.
Oh yeah, no, that's right. There was no social. I mean, there was social media, but it wasn't as prevalent as what it is now.
Yeah, it's limited.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, no, I think I'd like to go on and just, you know, show the world a different side, but still.
That'd still be a cool concept for the show. You know, Dana White, if you're listening, I know you are. Yeah, legends. Bisping.
Dana never misses an episode. He told me at the weekend.
Bisping versus Matt Hughes. Legends.
No, not legends. Matt Hughes. Not Matt Hughes.
Who would you want to? Anderson? Who would you want to?
Anderson would be good. But Matt Hughes, no disrespect to him. He's not in the best health these days. So he wouldn't be the best choice for that one.
But, Chael Sonnen.
Chael Sonnen would be good. No, but that wouldn't be good either because I love Chael these days. Chael's great. He's the man.
Yeah, but it's about your chess pieces going up against each other. You guys could really get on each other's skin. That'd be fun.
When we were fighting, though, there would have been a lot of shenanigans. Now, Chael's, you know, Chael's cool, man. Chael's a very mellow, laid-back guy. He's a good dude. He's a good person. He really is. Smart guy as well. Anything else, Harrington, that we haven't got to that's pressing in these notes? We've got about 5-6 minutes left. Harrington?
So there's just one thing I thought was kind of juicy. And that's the Jorge Masvidal quote about Leon Edwards.
Oh, yes.
Why he doesn't want to take that fight. Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah. Go on, read it out. Read it out. And I'll be honest, it's going to be controversial for me to say this. I agree. But go ahead.
Okay. His quote on the fight against Diaz, Leon did what he does. He keeps asking for money and more things, but he's not a finisher. He's not a fighter. He was winning happily. He wasn't willing to put himself at risk to go out there and get those finishes. That's why I don't think he's in the position he wants to be. He's not going out there fighting every second of every minute. He's a very skilled guy, but he just doesn't have that grit in him, that meanness to go out there and beat a top contender the way he should.
Yeah, so and allow me to clarify my statement there when I said I agree. I agree to a certain extent. Of course, for Masvidal, they're rivals. They're in the same weight class. They both want the same thing. They both want to be the champ. So, of course, Masvidal's going to put him down. He's going to talk a little bit of shit. But there is some truth to what he said. You know, that was, as we talked about it, that was a big opportunity for Edwards to go out there and steal a fan base, get a huge title fight, you know, and just become the star that he deserves to be. Leon's really, really good. But the one thing that's held him back is the lack of finishes in the UFC. And I don't want to say coasting. He was in control of that fight. He was dominating that fight. But to Masvidal's point, he never turned up the pressure. He never said, right, this is the round I'm going to go for the finish. He never fought with a sense of urgency. Listen, he's so technically brilliant. He doesn't need to do that. Right, he's faster than people. He's stronger than people. His timing's better. His reflex, his instincts, all that stuff is on the money. But people need to see finishes, and that's the only thing that's really holding him back. Now, I wasn't the biggest finisher, even though I think I'm third in terms of knockouts in UFC history, so it's not bad. But before anyone starts, I had to get that disclaimer in. I wasn't finishing every fight, but I am third in terms of all-time knockouts, so go fuck yourself. And maybe first in middleweight history. I don't know, maybe first or second. But finishes are what captures the imagination. Finishes are what have everybody talking about them on Monday morning. Finishes are what, you know, gets tons and tons of new fans. And certainly the way that fight ended with Diaz fucking finishing, almost finishing him, pardon me, it was like the worst case scenario. So it's a good observation. It's a good bit of shit talk from Masvidal, but it's not totally without foundation.
Yeah, and yeah, I agree to a certain degree, except for the fact that Leon Edwards has now gone 8 in a row in the division. And
oh, it's amazing.
Look, the fact is, George St. Pierre stopped finishing people. George St. Pierre, for you know, a long portion of his career, quote-unquote, played it safe, and people were like, oh, he's not a fighter. Sure, he made fucking bazillion dollars. He's considered one of the most respected fighters of all time. He took so little damage. He does backflips in his fucking into his ice baths every day now. He's almost 40. You know, I don't know. I don't think that not being a fighter and not getting, you know, into these crazy firefights and putting yourself at risk, I don't know that that should necessarily be you know, condemned. I think that he's maybe plays it safe, but he fights damn near perfect. And he beat Nate Diaz in every aspect of the mixed martial arts game for 4.5 rounds. And I think that, you know, the you're right.
Yes.
You stole the story.
Yes. You're right. I agree with everything. But if he'd have gone out there and finished Nate Diaz like he could have done, I'm going to say he could have done that if he poured on some more pressure. I'm not talking negative about Leon. I'm British. I'm not going to do that. I support him every step of the fucking way. Do you know what I mean? And I can't wait to see him to get his long overdue title shot. The man deserves it. The man should be fighting for a title. Shouldn't be Colby Covington. But whatever. No, I don't make those decisions. I think it should be Leon. But I just think he didn't let himself down because there's two men in every race or every fight. Diaz is a hell of a fighter. It's easier said than done. But he just... It looked like he could have gone up a notch. That's right. All. It looked like he could have gone up a notch. And if he did, he might have got the finish or maybe not have got rocked in the fifth.
I mean, look, Masvidal, you know, devil's advocate. And I like Masvidal. I'm a fan of Masvidal. I've always been a fan of Masvidal. He should fucking take the fight with Leon Edwards. You just got knocked out by the champion. You just lost twice in a row to the champion. Your only path back to that title is beating the guy that's ranked number two in the division. It makes sense. They have the whole history. They have on camera, the promos would be crazy. You know, and honestly, Masvidal might bring that out of Leon Edwards because that's the type of fighter that Masvidal is. For and every reason, that fight should be happening next. And if it doesn't happen, I think Masvidal's crazy. Masvidal, if he wants to... Look, dude, if he wants to get back there, he's got to beat somebody that's that highly ranked. And the fact that they want to make that fight happen, Masvidal should be going, fuck, dude, thank God.
100%. You know, and to be honest, with the shit talk from Masvidal there and with that doing the rounds and making headlines and us talking about it, whatever, if when the narrative gaining momentum and getting a little traction and people start talking about it, UFC made the fights that fans want to see. And Leon versus Masvidal is a fight that everyone wants to see. The story is there. Incredible. So please, Leon and Masvidal, this is a Believe You Me exclusive. Take the fight, okay? Make the fight. Make the match. Whatever it is, make it happen. Side note, 10 UFC knockouts puts me right behind Anderson Silva at middleweight. Harrington pointed that out. What should we end on, Lewis? Or is it time to bad boy up?
We got to wrap this bad boy up. Let's leave some meat on the bone for Thursday. We have a great show planned for Thursday. Are we having a guest or no?
I've got a few guests. I'll tell you who we have coming up very soon, though. We have Rashad Evans will be joining us probably next week. We have Misha Tate that will be joining us probably next week as well. So next week, Monday or Thursday, one's Rashad, one's Misha. Got some other ones in the pipeline as well, but I'm going to keep them under my hat. Until then, take care. Thanks for tuning in. MyTicket.co.uk if you want to buy tickets for the tour when we come to England in October. BYNmerch.com if you want to buy this amongst many, many other t-shirts and memorabilia that we have.
And also, LewisofSkanks.com if you want to see me performing live. I'll be in San Diego, and I'm also going to be Point Pleasant, New Jersey at the end of July.
And until Thursday, we'll be back with another show. Take care of yourself. Be happy. Be productive. You know, work out, eat less, don't drink, don't smoke, make good decisions, be a man of the people, be nice, go out of your way to help other people. There you go. Goodbye.